What I'd like to share with you this morning is about the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit. I was just thinking of how much I love him, how much of a hero he is to me. And I was thinking of how magnificent God's plan is in giving him for us. You all know this verse, this in John chapter 3. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And that is the overall truth that you have to keep in your heart. He loves you. He loved you so much that he was willing from the very beginning to give you a Savior. To allow you to have the privilege to choose whether you would be God's or the devil's, because you already were sold under sin. And the first prophecy you were all very familiar with, and I just want to go there again. Genesis 3:15, talking about this Savior. And I just want to hit some little different aspects of it. All right. I don't know if it'll be new or different, but it'll be what it is. Immediately after the sin of Adam and Eve and the devastation of ruining creation, ruining God's plan, selling each and every one of us, their children, into the slavery of the devil, immediately after that high treason, God says to them, he says to the devil, he says, "I will put enmity." Enmity is, I'm going to put, is going to be a conflict between you, between thee, the devil, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head. It's going to absolutely destroy you. And thou shalt bruise his heel. You're going to hurt him. You're going to kill him. The Lord Jesus Christ ultimately is this promised seed. He is going to be the one who fights and destroys, obliterates, wipes off for eternity the devil. And yet we are told that he is going to suffer and really be a wounded warrior. He's going to get killed in the battle, but he's not going to be defeated. And this is to put this enmity, this conflict between you, the devil, and this woman and her seed. God set it up. He set up the plan. And he's going to carry it out. He says later on in Genesis, he says to Abraham, "In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All the goy, all the goyims, all the Gentile." Remember, there are no Jews yet. Not in the sense, in the way we see it, because they are the children of Abraham. But guess what? Israel isn't born yet. He wasn't born yet. He was in the loins of Abraham, who is the father of us all. But all the nations of the world are going to be blessed because of that seed, because of his faith. Go to Galatians for a second. This is how God set it up. In chapter 3, start reading in verse 15. It says, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be by a man's covenant, yet it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and to his seed," SEED, singular, where the promise is made. And he saith not as to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, singular again, which is Christ. All the promises, I want you to think about this, and you got to screw down your head a little bit. Who were the promises made to? Two people. That's it. Those are the only two that are guaranteed from God. Those are the only two we're told that have it, that you got it. This is my promise to you, both. The rest of us choose to get added to this. Abraham believed God, and it was set to his account for righteousness. And we're told if we believe like faithful Abraham, then it will be set to our account, Romans chapter 4, if you want to read where it is. Abraham did it. Christ, God knew, would do it. He made to them the promises. All the rest of mankind has to choose to believe like Abraham believed in order to receive those promises and stay faithful. Okay? But all those promises, everything that we're going to talk about, everything we're going to read, everything we're going to see, everything that's in God's word, all of the future promises, eternal. I've met so many people that just think everybody's going to heaven. Where do they get this? And we're not talking about foolish people. Yeah, I had a doctor, a medical doctor who used to be in our fellowship here for years and years and years, and he just came to the conclusion, you know, everybody's going to make it. Everybody's going to make it. It don't matter. And he's an, you know, intelligent people think these things. Intelligent people obviously think different things about what the Bible says. But you got to get a whole lot more serious. The only two that the promises were made to is Abraham and Christ. Everyone else has to choose to believe like faithful Abraham. And if you don't, you don't. So let's go to Deuteronomy here. Talking about Christ again. Thing he will accomplish, that he will do. Some of the prophecies concerning him. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, says, and the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. Verse 18, and I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. This is what God is going to do with his Messiah, with this seed. And Jesus Christ testifies of this in the Gospels. He says, the words that I give to you, the Father, he gives to me. You know, I speak nothing, I do nothing of myself. The Father, he does the works. He was faithful. He was obedient. He was the one who chose to sacrifice. He did this because he knew what his Father would do, and he understood. God showed it to him, helped him. He understood the scriptures. He understood the promises. He understood what was before him. In Hebrews, it says in verse chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author. Oh, I didn't tell you to go. All right. Yeah. Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See, it was, he knew what was coming. He knew this. He could endure the cross because he knew what the benefit was. This joy that's coming. He despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Just so, let's see if I can find it here. Go to Isaiah. I was reading this, I think it was yesterday. In chapter 50. This is talking, it says, in verse 4, it says, and the Lord God hath given me a tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. To him that is weary, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as I learn. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Every morning by morning, he opened his ears to hear. Day by day. You know, they don't have little stars next to all the verses, but it's talking about him. God taught him, spoke to him. How about, do you still get, do you got Christ in you? Do you think that comforter, that counselor, that paraclete would still have the same ears if we choose? How about, I love that one verse that says, you know, I learned how to talk and to speak the correct word in the right season. A lot of people talk, sometimes way too much. All you need is the correct word in the right season. You know, it's like after a while, it's like the TV commercials, you know, you hear them so often, you don't even listen to them anymore. Well, it's the same thing. Much chatty. Nobody listens anymore. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Verse 9, behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and say, stay upon his God. This is a beautiful section. Go to Psalm 110. Almost everything about the Lord Jesus Christ's life, you can find the manner. And sometimes it's a little confusing in the Bible. I mean, people have had a real hard time with it. And one of the reasons is because they didn't understand. Well, we read it last week, but, you know, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow that's spoken of in 1 Peter. They look diligently to see and to understand this. But the mystery wasn't revealed. God didn't make it known yet. So they're looking at these records in the scripture. It talks about he's going to be the high priest. He's going to be the king. I mean, kiss the son, lest he be angry. Just kindle his anger just a little. And then it says, my servant, the righteous branch, he's going to come and speak softly. He'll be as, he won't even bend over a bruised reed. It's going to be so gentle, so tender, so meek, that even one of those reeds that blows in the wind, he's not even going to bend over a bruised reed. Then he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, taking vengeance. Who are we talking about? Who's that warrior that's going to destroy, literally destroy the devil, and yet suffer and die himself? Have his head bruised. It was so mis. It wasn't meant to be easy to find out. It was not meant to be easy. Because if the devil had known who God was talking about to begin with, it says in Corinthians chapter 2, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He'd rather have him walking around now. Go to, I told you to go to Psalm 110. This is one of the most quoted sections in the New Testament about the Messiah. It says, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send a rod of his strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power and beauties of holiness from the womb of thy morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's going to be a priest forever. He's our high priest. He's sitting in the heavenly tabernacle. He is serving, making intercession for us. He is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Lord said unto my Lord, Yahweh said unto my Adonai, said unto my Adoni, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Most quoted verse in the New Testament talking about Jesus Christ. He's going to be a priest forever. Verse 6, thou shalt judge among the heathen. He shall fill the place with the dead bodies. He shall wound the head over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Wow. And yet he came. His mission the first time was so gentle. His voice was never, the picture is he wouldn't even bruise the grass. You had those two aspects. You and I get to see this. See how privileged we are. Remember Philip and the eunuch, the guy from Ethiopia? And he's reading Isaiah. Who is this guy? Now he's reading it. He was a man who wanted to know God. He was a man who desperately wanted to know the things of God. And he says to Philip, who is this guy? And then Philip starts from there and preaches Christ unto him. You go today, and those who are just, they don't know that that's the Lord. They don't read it that way. They got a king coming. They have a deliverer coming. Not somebody who's going to get killed. They didn't put it together. And, you know, and let's not be too critical of those. I mean, it took somebody to open our eyes to see it too, didn't it? Somebody preached the word to us. And you know who opened your eyes because you wanted to see? It wasn't the teacher. It was the Lord. He is the one you sought. He saved by his grace. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. This is a vision that John got of the throne room of God. And it's awesome just to read. But remember, when God shows any man anything, it's got to be in light of what he understands. God is spirit, right? No man's seen God at any time, right? Yet John's going to get a vision of he who sits on the throne, the Almighty. It's a vision. It's a representation. Like the beauty. He'll talk about stones, rainbows, this, that, the other. It's not literally there. It's a representation that John could understand of the glory, magnificence, beauty. That's how you should read some of, you know, when you read some of these things, you ask yourself, is this literal or is this figurative? You know, and you got to put it together with the rest of the Bible, okay? So it says, after I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. These are must. They're going. It's absolutely going to happen. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon as jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed with white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the thrones proceeded lightning and thunder and voices, and were 7 lamps of 7 of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. What's that? I got no clue. But I tell you what, this is, just imagine this event going on in your mind. Just imagine seeing this in your heart. I mean, they had to make a movie out of this. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like as the crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast as the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the four and the 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And thou hast created all, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside seals with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. And I wept because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, one of the prophecies, the Root of David, another one of the prophecies, hath prevailed to open the book. He had to prevail. God knew he was the one, his Messiah. He was the one, and he did prevail. And to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it hath been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. What are those again? No clue. And I have no clue what the representation means. The seven spirits of God. A lot of people have hard enough time with just Holy Spirit, let alone the seven of them. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. The Lamb, the one who is slain, the Root of Jesse, he was worthy. Everything we've read, all that he did, all that he accomplished, he fulfilled the necessary fulfillment of Scripture. All the promises, all those things. He set his face like a flint. He wouldn't turn away when he was spat upon. He despised the cross. But he, for the glory that was set before him, endured it. Our Lord is the hero of mankind and all of his people. And when he had taken, verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them a harp and of golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. You know, your prayers, these guys got, you know, vessels. They got the incense that comes before the throne is the prayers of the saints. But you didn't think of it that way. You're sitting in your living room and you're praying. And you're praising God and thanking the Lord. And you're asking him for help and everything else. And you need deliverance. I mean, you give thanks and praise and glory and joy, and this is incense. What a representation that is. And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." We're going to reign on the earth. Kings and priests. I believe it says in 1 Peter that you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a peculiar people. Do you look like a royal priesthood right now? I mean, when you think of like royal, do you look like royal? Nah, sorry. This ain't royal. This is JCPenney's, okay? Or whatever. It ain't robes, and it ain't flowery, and it ain't that. I was watching, flipping the channel last night. They got the Tudors. That's about the King of England. And I'm flipping. I'm looking at all the clothes and looking at the jewels. You don't look royal. The neighbors don't think you're royal. The neighbors don't think you're royalty. The address ain't royalty. But that's what he's made you to be. Just hasn't come to pass yet. Whether they believe it or not, you are priests. Everybody looks at the other priests running around, right? Our royal priesthood. You. And yet, the world will never acknowledge it until when? Till our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And when he comes back, he is going to set you in your place. And anybody who stands against him or stands against his plan, death. You just read about the seals when he opens them. Not going to be pretty. You think things are bad now for the world? Think about this. The Lord is going to open up these seals, right? One of those seals says like a quarter of the earth dies. Anybody ever read this book? 25% of the earth dies. This is justice. It says in Isaiah, it says it's going to take 7 years to bury the dead. I don't know if that's because there's so many dead or there's so few people to bury them. This is not the Jesus that everybody thought saw come the first time, is it? But this is our Lord. This is the plan. What did I leave off? The prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song of kings and priests, verse 10. And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast of the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." He was worthy to receive it. That's why his name is above every name. He earned it. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lives forever and ever. Then the Lamb starts to open the seals in the 6th chapter. And there's 7 seals, and you know what? Then there's 7 trumpets. Lots going to happen. Actually, a lot of people get very, very scared when they start reading this book, right? I'm hoping. Because you know what happens? When these things start to happen, we are so close to being with our Lord forever and ever and ever. And did you forget the promise? Because when these Christians get all freaked out about this thing, did you forget? Go to Romans, the promise. Do you not believe that the God who just promised you how much he loves you, cares for you, be with you, everything else. Yeah, we'll have a tough time. But do we not believe that he will keep his word? And if we do have to go through tough times like our brothers and sisters are around the world, all right, that he will reward those who faithfully stand for him. Because it's not about the few days that we have on this earth. It's about eternity. But God promises you and I. Verse 9 says, much more than now being justified by his blood. I'm in Romans 5, 9. Much more now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. I tell you what, if you get persecuted by the devil, because there is that persecution, it's not God that's doing it to you. It's the devil. And then there will be the great tribulation, right? Which is just more of the same, a lot more of the same. It's not like it's, and it will last, according to Daniel, 3.5 years. So, are you going to set your face like a flint? It's 3.5 years. You see your Lord. Let's say, the phony, end time TV shows that you see, movies and all the rest of it. I mean, they all make a joke out of this, right? It's no joke. They make it like it's a fairy tale, but it's no fairy tale. Is it soon? I hope so, but I don't know. God, I hope so. But I don't know. I can't tell you that if it's going to be 100 years from now or 10 years from now. But I hope, plead that it's soon. Talked to God last night about, please, send them out. wait, but you and I are going to be saved from the wrath. It says in one of those seals, it says the people of the earth, the ones who stood against him, God's enemies, it says that they're going to get crawl into the caves and pray that the mountains fall upon them to hide them from the one who sits on the throne. You and I are saved from the wrath because of what Christ did on the cross. He's not only delivered us today, he's saved us when before we were his, right? by dying for us. Then we confessed him as Lord, and he saved us by his grace and what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. And he's going to save us from everything that's coming. I used to read this book and be terrified of what he saved us from, the wrath. Is there a tribulation? Yeah, the devil will pour out. The tribulation is here. The great tribulation is just more of the same. How many times can they kill you, though? Yeah, I mean, you see what I mean? So, I mean, I don't. Perspective is the God who has saved and loves you going to leave you, forsake you, not be with you? Obviously not. Is the one who sent his son to do all of this? Does he want those same people that he saved to be so fearful and panicked that they stop looking to him for running into their bomb shelters? Because they think, I mean, how many Christian groups are out there right now? I just went through this thing on the internet. You know, the blood moons. Remember I wrote that little article about the blood moons? They all fall on the feast days in the next year and a half. I mean, to me, that was the sign. That was what it was about, to say, these days are important. Understand what they are. I got people running to the bank, calling me up on the phone. Should I get my money out of the bank? You know, I mean, should we move upstate? I mean, and those are just the people calling me. Then I watch these people, and they're freaking everybody out. Look at the Lord. He's your hero. Look at him, what he says. Look at what God promises. That's where you keep your head, not these idiots. They are. Tell me where the blood, they're there for signs and for seasons, right? The astronomical things out there, for signs and for seasons. Do you really think it's a sign that you ought to get your money out of the bank? You ever read that someplace? But we got these great people. And they'll look like fools, and they'll make the Bible look like fools. The people who read the Bible look like fools. And you got to endure that. Like Charlie prayed before. You know, people think we're idiots. It's okay. I'm the son of the living God. Jesus Christ is my brother. And I am very proud and humbled to be in this family. That's where I'm at. I don't care what anybody else thinks. He's coming back for us. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to set you up as kings and priests on the earth. And you're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. He is our Savior, our Lord, our hero. Keep your eyes on him. That's what I wanted to share with you.